Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of Justify Your Existence. I'm your host, Brendan Farrell. Today it is Monday, July 29th, at least while we're recording this. Today I am joined by our own Michael Katz. Michael, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. How's Oxford?
I had like my best laid plans. I was gonna grill yesterday, and then we had like the Noah's Ark flood storm out here. So yesterday was it's you know I'm still like really not used. I've been here for like 3 years, but I'm still like really not used to the weather. And how the forecasts are usually got like a 70% hit rate, which is really good if you're a quarterback, but kind of rough if you are trying to figure out what to wear. So it's been raining a little hot, but I know fall is almost here. That's what I keep telling myself.
Yeah, but it's not gonna get any better until like November. So, yeah,
Daisy works. That's what matters. That's what really matters.
that's true. That is true. But yeah, you can follow Michael on Twitter at Michael L. Katz. He does all of our Ole Miss coverage at DJournal.com. But yeah, so Michael, the last episode I recorded, I was talking to somebody else about the video game coming out. Now that we've all had a couple of weeks to play it, how has it been for you?
So I'm on my second season. I was the offensive coordinator at my alma mater, USC, and we did not finish strong. We started off 10 and 1, 11 and 1, and then we lost our last three games, including our playoff game. So we made some staff changes, and brought in some new players. And right now we are in the semifinal of the playoff, but I've taken the job as the head coach at Arizona State. So this will be my last hurrah with Miller Moss and company. It's like it's so unserious, but like I literally my girlfriend was here. I was like, which job should I take? I was like, this isn't even real life. Like, this is so stupid. But yeah, it's been good. I know a lot of people have had beef with how they look. That's been a huge grievance for a lot of people, particularly Jackson Dart, was not very impressed with his design. He looked more like Quinn Ewers slash like Bobby Witt Jr. Kind of combined. Not anything like Jackson, but it's been good. I grew up playing those games. I had like all of them from like 2003 or 4 to 14, and then we lost them for like 11 years, and now it's back, and it's like, the mechanics have changed a little bit, but it's been pretty good. I assume you've been playing with the Gators.
So I'm one of those like weird people that doesn't have a ton of fun with playing like with big schools. I have been playing as Coastal Carolina
Okay.
in the Sun Belt. We've been killing it in Conway slash Myrtle Beach. Won the Sun Belt in my second year, so we're doing all right. Yeah, just trying to. I was trying to rebound from a really tough loss at Clemson. We took them to the limit, and lost on a field goal late. It was heartbreaking, but you know what? My beach chickens will rebound.
I was actually after my 10-4 season, I was so mad I left the Big Ten and joined the Pac-12 with its two teams so I could pad my stats.
There you go.
So I ended up playing like Kennesaw State and like a bunch of like really weird non-con games. And I didn't even play Oregon State. I only played Washington State. I was like, there's two teams. How are they both not on my schedule? But I won the Pac-12, which is quite the feat.
That's the one realignment change I made was I decided that Stanford and Cal did not deserve a bailout and threw SMU back into the Pac-12 to make it a Pac-5. So it's something. I just, you know, I can't have them in the ACC. That's the vibes aren't there.
It's very weird. When I was watching like Media Day stuff, and I was like, oh yeah, UC Berkeley and Stanford are in the ACC. What are we doing?
How very Atlantic of them.
Yes. Because when I think Atlantic Coast, I think the two California schools in Northern California.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I've been having a fun time with it, but I think I blew like a, I don't know, I gave up 32 points in the fourth quarter to my brother yesterday to
Oof.
lose.
Oof.
Yeah, to lose by like 3 points, I think.
That's brutal.
So yeah, two of those were pick sixes. So
Been
had
there,
to,
bruised there.
yeah, that was some serious emotional damage. But is it weird to be like working in sports media now when you're like, these guys are in a video game, you know?
Yeah, it is. It was super weird. I was just like, well, I'm like gonna see what Ole Miss looks like. Just like, just because they're ranked highly and like I know the players, and so it's like really weird to be like, oh, that's like somebody I'm gonna talk to in a couple of days. It is very like it is very weird. And like that was like sort of the case with some of the last couple games that came out, like when I was in like grad school at SC, like Matt Barkley was in those games. And so like but I was like a young student reporter, so it was a little bit different. But now that I'm in my 30s, and now I'm like seeing guys that are relative children in this video game. It's crazy. It's very weird. And but it has been really cool to see like how the players have reacted. And obviously not maybe with how their pictures are, but just like what it means to them to like be in the game and actually like be recognized as who they are, as opposed to QB number two or whatever it would do in the original games, unless you downloaded a
See,
roster.
I've gotten used to finally having names on players. It took a little bit of adjusting, but I finally got used to it. It's when I see real players hit the fictional transfer
Oh,
portal
that
that
happened.
I.
I somehow we got a kid who I think this is going to be his first year at Alabama, and he's already at USC. I'm like, this is weird. This is like a little uncomfortable.
In my dynasty, I saw DJ Lagway transfer to SMU, and that was genuinely like the weirdest thing.
That's got it. DJ Lagway's been killing it in my file. He and SEC's got some good quarterbacks. Shocking, in my current season. But the simulations have been super weird too. Like you'll get like FCS Southeast like beating someone, or like UTEP beating Texas. I'm like, what are okay, like listen, I know we love upsets, but like let's make this like a little bit more realistic, please. Only USC would lose to FCS Southeast.
Of course, yes. But yeah, like I had Boston College make the playoffs in like year two.
That's who I'm playing actually in my semifinal. I'm worried. Castellanos is a good quarterback.
Look, you can't take those folks from Chestnut Hill for granted.
It's so stupid. And I spent like a lot of like the last few days like being really mad because I was number one in the media poll, but like because I was in a fake conference, I was only like number like seven or eight in the CFP, and I was like, this whole thing is a sham. I was just like screaming, and I'm just like, it's not even real. Like, how did Florida State feel last year? Like,
Exactly.
man,
Look,
get it now.
I have never felt more insulted than when I won the Sun Belt and had to go play in the Birmingham Bowl.
Oof. Oof. No disrespect to the Birmingham Bowl, but yeah, that's tough.
I'm just saying there are places I'd rather spend my New Year's than Birmingham.
Yeah, it's lovely that time of year.
Well, I will tell you that I've been to Tempe before. It's you'll enjoy it, I suppose.
Yeah, no, Tempe's good. Yeah, I'm trying to think of like, I don't know. I mean, as I am just rooting. We just need to make. We need to make a bowl game year one. I need to feel good. I need to get some. I need to do some good recruiting. Get maybe some of my USC guys in the portal. Wink, wink. Can't wait to do that. Yeah. Again, this game consumes way more of my life than it should. Like it always did.
But yeah, you assumed I was going to play as Florida, but I was, you take one look at that schedule this year, and it's like I'm already going to experience the pain in my real life. I don't need to experience it in the video game as well.
That's fair.
And then run it back again just with the home games, road games the following season. So yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good.
That makes sense. I get that.
But yeah, I don't know if I'm trying to win a national title at Coastal Carolina, but I at least want to make the playoffs with them and go from there. But yeah, so it turns out you also have like a real job covering actual college sports as opposed to fictional ones. So how was Media Days?
It was really interesting, because as much of a, this is probably going to be a preseason top five or six Ole Miss team, but they were not like the team everybody was talking about. Everybody's talking about Texas and Oklahoma because, it's their introduction into high society, at SEC Media Days. And everybody's talking about Georgia, and I was talking about Kalen DeBoer, and all these things. And like, I don't know, like, if a top five team can fly under the radar, but Ole Miss like kind of did. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's actually probably good, because Ole Miss has tended historically to, maybe do a little bit better when they've been a little bit more under the radar. But it was good. It was good to, it's crazy. Third year starting quarterback, but it's the first time Jackson Dart's been there, because he's always been in some sort of a competition, depending on how. If you think it was real or not, he's been in competitions the last couple of years. So this was his first one, his first media days. It was just really cool to kind of touch base with them and Lane, and just sort of, I think that with the sort of season that is expected of them, it could be easy to get caught up in all of the outside stuff. And I know that, it's one thing to say it in July, but I really do feel like they are not looking at things too far down the line. And what I thought was really interesting too is, when Lane, this will be the second top 10 preseason team Lane Kiffin will have ever had, and the first one was 2012 USC, the preseason number one team that finished 7-6. That was my last year at SC. I spent New Year's Eve in El Paso, Texas. It was beautiful, wonderful Sun Bowl against a sub 500 Georgia Tech team. And so I was curious, to ask Lane, like, what did you learn from the last time you had a team that had those sorts of aspirations? And he said, it was a little bit different because USC was under sanctions, because of Pete Carroll and stuff. They had some recruiting or some scholarship limitations and stuff, but he admitted that they probably bought into their own hype a little bit too much, then. And he always talks about rat poison. He said they were never really as good as everybody thought they were, but then they tried to sort of, I think they believed what everybody was saying about how good they were supposed to be and how Matt Barkley was supposed to win the Heisman and all of this sort of stuff. And it just kind of fell apart that year. So it was interesting to see, 12 years, 11, 12 years after that situation, where Lane's head is at. And it just really does feel like, again, it can be lip service now, but for them to say, yeah, listen, being preseason top whatever does not matter at all, because the schedule is going to work itself out, and high ranked teams have finished unranked, and unranked teams have finished highly ranked, and none of this really matters right now. So it was really interesting to sort of compare those two situations.
It's really interesting hearing you bring up, like if a, preseason playoff contender, like consensus could somehow fly under the radar to SEC Media Days. It's also really funny when you consider that their head coach is Lane Kiffin.
Well, yeah, it is generally hard to fly under the radar, with him. As you probably saw, the clip of him on Feinbaum there went viral. I feel like something always goes viral when those two get together. They have a very interesting relationship. But yeah, obviously, like, Lane has had a lot going on in his personal life recently with the passing of his father. So I think he's been a little bit maybe more subdued, and maybe introspective lately. So he wasn't necessarily playing the hits as much at this media day, but yeah, I imagine we're in store for some good ones over the next few months.
Yeah, so what did you think about Ole Miss being picked to finish fourth in the preseason media poll?
I have them at third, behind Georgia and Texas. I think that I understand why people are still really high on Alabama. It's obviously Alabama. They've got really good players. Kalen DeBoer's, we don't know how it's going to go at Alabama, but he's been a very good coach everywhere that he has been. They've been killing it in recruiting. But I think in my head, I'm taking the known quantity over the team that could be really, really good. And it's they don't play each other this year, so that's a little bit different too. So there's no, you're not going to have it decided that way. I was a little bit surprised. But at the same time, I think I understood where people were coming from with that, just with Alabama being Alabama. But I think fourth is it's a good place to be. You're above LSU, you're above Missouri, Tennessee, Oklahoma, all those teams who are very highly thought of around the country. So they're in a good spot. But yeah, I mean, I had them a little bit higher, but not significantly. I think Georgia and Texas are like so obviously one and two, at least right now. I think the next two after that were kind of dealer's choice.
I think with fans, it's a very hard thin line walk or thin line to walk between, I want my team to be recognized as good versus, oh God, I really don't want everybody to think that we're really good,
Yep.
right? Because one way or the other, like if it goes too far, it becomes disrespectful, right? But and on the other hand, you don't want everyone to feel really good about your team, because that's when at least like. This is just me being, I guess, traumatized by all the teams I watch. But I'm like, if everybody thinks my team is good, I'm like, how bad is this gonna go? Right? You mentioned that that USC team. It's like I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, that is means that is really like it's crazy that he has never had another preseason top 10 team, and that the other one that was that situation that went really, really, really badly, and he got fired that next year, as everybody remembers. But yeah, I mean, it is fascinating, the sort of balance between like they know they're good and they want respect, but also like maybe flying under the radar isn't the worst thing on earth, especially when let Georgia and Texas and Alabama get the headlines as you quietly win your games.
Yeah, how was it just kind of like the in-person experience of being there for media days?
It's cool. I always like it. It's cool to see some people that you only see them a couple times a year at other games or at media days. It's cool to see also like some people that you see on TV and you actually see them like in real life. It's very weird to walk by Nick Saban, who's now in media, which is very weird. But it's cool. They do a really good job of keeping us happy in terms of the amenities and whatnot. All the Dr. Pepper you could ever want. It's absolutely glorious. No, it's I don't know, it's really cool. I've been to other media days for other conferences, and it just doesn't compare, just the scope, and it's a who's who of people in our business and coaches. It really is sort of an honor to be there.
Yeah, how is trying to work SEC Media Days as the video game was coming up?
So it's actually really funny because like so I didn't buy the early version. I bought like the standard one because I was like, I know that if I buy the early one, I'm gonna be the person who brings my Xbox to my hotel room and is gonna be that person. I was like, no, you're not gonna do that, Michael. We're not doing this. But it was funny because when we had our little like smaller media sessions with Ole Miss players and Lane Kiffin. Like in the room that they were in, I don't know if it was like a video of people playing the game, But like some version of the game was on there, and apparently like they were gonna have like some of the players were mad because they hadn't gotten their codes yet. Because you know if you subscribe if you opt to be in the game, you get your $600 and then you get a free download code. And so it was just like wild, like standing there, like you're talking to whoever it is, Jackson Dart, and like you look over to your right, and there's just a TV playing like a random Michigan, oh, Penn State game, I remember that was one of them. And I was just like, what is happening here? Like no one's playing. I was like, there's no controller. This game's not even out yet. And then there were like there was like a Twitch stream. There was just like so much happening. It was a little bit of overstimulation, but it's it's cool. I think it's I there's a part there's the kid in me that is really happy that it's back. But also it's just it's cool because for me, whenever the video game came out, it meant college football was here.
Fair enough. And speaking of college football being here, got fall camp starting up. So how are you feeling about that?
Fall camp is interesting because like we probably aren't gonna learn a ton from what we see. We are gonna be limited, and that's I get it. That's how it is. It's not like they're opening their season with like Clemson, right? Like Georgia, I think plays Clemson to open the season. No disrespect to Furman or their second game, Middle Tennessee, I think it is. You gotta feel pretty good about your odds, and you probably don't. You can probably keep some stuff close to the vest, or maybe what you throw out there in week one and week two isn't what you're gonna see later in the year when you start playing the games that are a little bit more important. So, it's not like spring. Spring is like the ultimate take things with a grain of salt time, because people are hurt, people aren't. But it's very vanilla in the spring, and so it's obviously more than that. But I've seen people look like absolute superstars in fall camp, and they catch two passes the entire year. It is hard to gauge sometimes, but I think for me, there are a lot of things that I think I know about this team. You know what your quarterback situation is. You know what your wide receivers are. Yeah, you don't have Quinshon Judkins, but you have a lot of very good running backs. You've got a bunch of added defensive front help. I think the big one for me, and I don't know if we learn this right away, but is what is like their offensive line rollout? Because they bring 3 of 5 guys back, and they bring back 6 guys who have started games, but they added a bunch of guys through the portal. How do you what's the best mix of guys? Lane said it last year, after that Georgia game, everybody kind of focuses on the defensive front that they had to upgrade, but talent up front was what they had to do after they got demolished by Georgia. And they did that on the offensive line too, by bringing a couple guys from Washington. The Washington offensive line was amazing last year. They bring in a couple guys who have started a bunch of games at other programs as well, Diego Pounds and Jaquan Scott. So I think it's for me, it's going to be interesting. How do you balance, you have guys who are coming back, but you also know that if you want to take the next step, like maybe you change the combinations, or maybe some guys who played before aren't, in penciled in. We think guys are penciled in, but maybe that's not the best combination of talent. So I think that's going to be really interesting for me. And again, I don't know if you learn it in week one against Furman what their offensive line is going to be. You could probably rotate guys for those first few games. Maybe that's what they do throughout the whole season. I don't know, but that's the big, not so much a question mark because I think they're in a really good place, but it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think just like in general, like just with how Ole Miss's approach to the transfer portal is, I feel like fall practice gives you at least an idea of how much the new pieces are gelling together.
Yeah, no, for sure. And again, it's going to be so much different than the last time we saw them, which was eating hot dogs with Joey Chestnut. That was it's a very different situation. So yeah, I mean this is obviously a lot more real and whatnot, but yeah, of course you're going to learn a little bit more when you see the first group out there in fall compared to what it looked like in the spring. You got to think it's going to be a little bit closer to what it will probably be, but I think there's probably some stuff that we're not going to be privy to, and that's the way it goes. So, I'm curious to see what combination of guys, really every level is when you add in guys, talent is one thing, but does it all gel? What combination of guys is going to not just be the best talent, but also, the best chemistry? This Ole Miss team had such good chemistry last year, and yeah, you upgraded talent, but you want to keep that chemistry.
How do you feel about, kind of this Ole Miss team having probably a lot more eyeballs on this team, compared to years past at this point of the season?
I think that, and I think this all starts with the guy in our center. Jackson Dart is just very, very good at staying grounded, and I think they all look to him for how they are going to react to certain situations. And Jackson is just he's very humble. He's very grounded. He's not going to be listening to, everything else that's going on out there. So I think that yes, there are more eyes, and I think yeah, they obviously know that. They're on social media. As much as they say they want to avoid it, they can't. It's impossible. They are always going to be hearing something. But I think that when you have a quarterback who, quote unquote, gets it the way he does, I think that the rest of the team sort of falls into place, following his lead. So yeah, I mean, yeah, listen, this is a team that just won the Peach Bowl. They finished in the top 10. They're going to be in the top 5 probably. Yeah, there's a lot of eyes on this team. And there's always eyes with Lane Kiffin, but especially right now. But I think that, this Jackson really helps keep them grounded, and so does Lane, because Lane has learned. He's a guy who learns from his mistakes, and he'll be the first to admit he didn't handle things well the right way at USC. With that 2012 season, he learned from that. So I think that the combination of Lane and Jackson and their temperaments, listen, is Lane going to say something to get people riled up? Probably. That's just the way it kind of goes. And there's always going to be something viral at some point in the season. But I think that when you have a leader like Jackson, and even guys like Trey Harris and Jared Ivey and JJ Pegues, who are just these very like grounded individuals, I don't think you worry about their eyes getting too wide, or worry about how are they going to handle the pressure. If they lose games, I don't think it's going to be because there was too much pressure. I think if they lose games, it's going to be because either they didn't play well or they got beat by a better team. I don't think it's going to be because of the outside circumstances.
Yeah, I generally agree with you. I just think it's funny that you mentioned, how grounded Jackson Dart is when he, grew up living 4,500 feet above sea level. So,
Fair,
sorry,
fair.
I gotta get my Utah jokes in while I can. So, but yeah, just overall, how are you feeling now that we're close-ish?
Well, it's crazy. Like, I think they start Wednesday. Yeah, I don't know, man. I've been telling people, like, I feel like I was just in Atlanta, for the Peach Bowl. And that was a really long time ago now. Like, a lot has happened since then. I taught a college class since then. Like, a lot of things have happened since then, but it doesn't feel like it was that long ago. So it goes by fast, and I think that this is a really cool time to, it's always an honor to cover an SEC team, but to cover an SEC team that has the aspirations that Ole Miss does, it's really cool to get to cover it, and be there, and talk to players and coaches and all that kind of stuff. This is gonna be this should be an exciting season, and I'm really, really fortunate to be able to be there for it.
Was there anything else you wanted to touch on?
Don't think so. I'm like ready to run through a wall, man. I'm ready. And that's not just because I'm gonna go play NCAA in my semifinal. I just need to eat my pregame meal first.
I was about to say, Hope you're not ready to run through a wall for your soon to be boys in Tempe, maybe, but
Yeah, no, it's one game at a time. We got to take down the Boston College Eagles first.
you're actually getting the Lane Kiffin experience, right? With Alabama.
What do you mean? Oh yeah, actually, yeah. Oh no, they are letting me coach through the rest
That's
of.
right. I was trying to remember if I had it backwards.
Yeah, no, they are letting me coach through the end of the playoff.
So, yeah. All
I'm very
right.
thankful to USC for that.
Cool. Well, as always, you can follow myself on Twitter at bferrell727. You can follow Michael on Twitter at Michael L. Katz. And feel free to check out all of our coverage of Ole Miss and Mississippi State at djournal.com. Michael, thank you again for joining me. I always appreciate it when you give me some of your time. So
Sure, man. Appreciate you.
thank you. I appreciate hearing that. Thanks everyone for listening and have a good one.